podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Welcome to episode 78 of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino, and this week I'm joined by Paddy and James following a weekend where Celtic completely dominated the Glasgow derby to pull 5 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership. It's been a perfect start to the season with 7 wins from 7, but we now head into a different ballpark altogether with our Champions League campaign kicking off this week against Real Madrid. Paddy, a big weekend there and some pretty big games coming up. It's an enjoyable time to be a Celtic fan.
I think Jota said the other day, it's an unbelievable time to be alive. Absolutely.
What a time to be alive.
He did. Absolutely
great,
brilliant.
Great interview.
Yep.
James, really powerful performance against Rangers. Are you annoyed it was only four?
Somewhat, you know, because it could have been more. It could have been three or four. It could have been four in the first half or more.
Could have been three at half time.
It could have been. Should have been. So, yeah, I was going for 6-2. I'll take the margin as correct, but not the score. So, any day, he's got to be happy with 4-0. But it was very expected, you know, and I don't mean that in a cocky, arrogant way. Going into that, you're just looking at all the form. I think there was real false reads on that PSV result they had because they just weren't at it at all, and we are absolutely at it just now.
Yeah, we definitely are. So it's another busy show ahead today, and we'll get things started by taking a closer look at Saturday's 4-0 hammering of Rangers as Celtic maintained their 100% start to the league campaign. The transfer window closed at midnight on Thursday, and we'll look at the impressive business that Celtic have carried out over the summer. We'll also then take a quick look at our midweek win over Ross County in the Premier Sports League Cup before we can then get really excited at what's up next for Celtic as Karim Benzema and co come calling this week on matchday one of this season's Champions League. And finally, we'll take a look at the weekend's home fixture with Livingston as Ange swaps pitting his wits with Carlo Ancelotti with going toe-to-toe with David Martindale. How the mighty will fall. Okay, so let's get things started with that display of domination by Celtic on Saturday as we hit four without reply and took a 5-point lead at the top of the table after just 6 games. James, it kind of picks up on your point there. Sometimes you get into these games in hope rather than expectation, but there was a genuine confidence going into this one that if we played the way we know we can, then there was only going to be one outcome.
Yeah, something's changed at Celtic. Something's clicked. You know, it's now Ange's team, Ange's players, Ange's system, Ange's training, and it's all working. And there'll be challenges and there'll be slips and all that kind of stuff, but by and large, this is how it's going to be for this season. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep up that relentless pressure, but it's looking good.
It's a case as well of, you know, we see the fruits of the players' labour, Paddy. We see all the good stuff. You know, we see it clicking together. We see the brilliant goals, the fast play, the interchange. We're not seeing all the hard work going on behind the scenes, and they must be putting in a hell of a shift to produce these levels.
Yeah, 100%. I think that we drum on about we never stop, but like I've never watched us play like 90 minutes. We were relentless on Saturday. Rangers just generally couldn't breathe against us. They didn't know what to do. We were quick off the mat with absolutely everything. The urgency is just incredible. And that comes from a heavy, hard drilling pre-season and training just continuing to remain at that high standard. And obviously, yeah, we've not been playing twice a week. That will have been so beneficial for us going into these months ahead. I really do think that. And, you know, what we're all talking last week, like, let's have a good game against Rangers. We're all fairly confident is okay to say, because I generally believe that, yeah, we know we're a better team than them. But then we were all saying, and we'll see how we got on Tuesday, the attitude towards the game on Tuesday has changed something else. Because why not? Why not? That's incredible football from us on Saturday. And, yeah, let's go for it tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I don't think Ange will allow his players or the fans to confuse confidence and arrogance. There's a stark difference between the two. And I think it's okay to believe in what you're doing and go into any game of football with a belief in your system and that confidence that we've seen in recent times. You cannot just turn up and perform the way Celtic have been performing. And this is still a work in progress, but it's an indication of, you know, the 12 months plus that we've had with Ange in the training field. And you use the term, James, it's just clicking at the moment.
Yeah, it's different. That's the thing, it's really different for me. And to your point, Paddy, about the attitude changing, it really has, you know, by about kind of half past or one by 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, you're going, right, Tuesday. So you're starting to look at it, you're going, yeah. It's, I remember Rodgers in Europe and Champions League stuff, and you're just going, first of all, it's honking, but you can't learn anything from it. You're going, you know, what can we really do about this when you're getting absolute thousands off of PSG? it just doesn't, I mean, come back to me Wednesday, but it doesn't feel like we're getting into this without a plan. Rodgers generally, for the first time ever, I would say he was disorganised in Europe, you know, disorganised for Celtic, because he didn't seem to have a plan for playing against PSG. He had a new ideology about playing out for the back, and it obviously didn't work without, because the guys weren't used to it. We've been doing this for, 15 months now, hard, and augmenting the squad, and a big thing that we didn't touch too much on, but the amount of players out of the squad and the disharmony, not disharmony, but just, you know, that negativity that can sometimes be there from players who we all know are gone, that lightens the load. It lightens every day at training, and everyone who's there is involved, could be picked. Everyone on the bench on Saturday could have been on the pitch at the start of the game. So there's so much around this, and the belief system that Ange has, and as he said earlier in his career, this will be a lot easier for you if you just believe in what I'm doing.
Yeah, and Ange said from the moment he came in the door that his biggest challenge was convincing the players and the fans to buy into what he was selling. And I think the guys got on board pretty quickly. We spoke to Jota fairly recently at one of the pressers, and he said that it was that night against Betis away from home.
Yeah.
But despite losing the game, something just fell into place, and the players thought, hold on a minute, there's something
we
here.
Can do this, yeah.
In terms of Brendan Rodgers, I don't think he was ever disorganised. I don't think it's his style to be disorganised. He's really on the ball with that kind of thing, but I think he was borderline delusional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think he went into it with maybe a false belief in what his team could do. It just feels so much different this time around. Paddy, have you heard any truth in the rumour that Ange was doing his team talk and tactics for Tuesday night's game at half time on Saturday, given that one was done and dusted?
Oh,
no, sympathy?
It's not sympathy. Oh, I just know. Oh, that's a wee shame. Give you a wee hug. No, I think it's more on the point of he takes one game at a time, as we already know. And and that is crucial for us as well, because I'm fairly certain that's how the players all act and believe that that's the right thing to do as well. I mean, again, we'll go back to Jota's interview with Jonathan Sutherland. Absolutely brilliant answer. Just the way he kind of
laughed it.
Cooled the water down straight away, basically said, nah, come on, we need to realise this is one game. And I think that is just the mentality for this full team. He's always spoke about that, Ange, especially last season, because we're talking about that Betis game. Fast forward 3 months and we were drawn against St Mirren, and you know, we were still using a lot of the younger players in the team as well. Owen Moffat, I believe, started that game. All the best to him, by the way.
Yeah, good as well.
But I just think that now we have our squad. And what I loved about the other day is that I sat here 2 weeks ago questioning just a bit of the, you know, the desire in the game against Hearts, and just considering the amount of changes. And I just think it's possibly, you know, it could be a motivational thing. It could just be those little blips that might happen. But that full starting 11 was a team from last season.
Yeah.
The team from last season, the one that they've got sussed, the one that they felt that they obviously knocked out in the Scottish Cup. Well, this is us with a full pre-season now, and by God, it will be 20 plus points, I'm telling you.
Sticking with it.
When Kyogo went off, Jacky Marcus came on. It was the exact same 11 that beat them 3-0 in February.
Well, there you go.
And on that note as well, just to emphasise that strength of squad, yes, it was disappointing to see Kyogo go off so early, but that disappointment was tempered very quickly.
It was weird
when you seen who was coming in.
It was very weird, because as soon as he went down, it's not like he went down and you're starting to think, right, who's coming on? You know who's coming on, and you know what he can do. And he was just raging to wait 4 minutes to get on. He was ripping to get on to the park, and he came on. Funny thing about his performance, maybe going into that in detail, but there's a lot of Celtic statues out there, and some guy was saying, oh, statistics are actually blah, 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 blah. And like, he gave these stats, and they were real stats of Jacky Marcus, and they didn't look too good. But as Miff says, I watch football with my eyes. He had a great game on Saturday, stats or otherwise.
Very, very effective, and some things stats cannot show. And I believe there's a place for stats in football, but some things you just need to put down to football being football, and Jacko epitomises that. Paddy, any pre-match nerves that you may have had on Saturday were settled very quickly. Obviously, it's Lee Alabada that's the opening goal, and he's fully justified his selection on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I was happy with either or starting, to be honest. I'm a big fan of Maeda and what he brings to the team, but I think he called it right. Abada getting the hat-trick last week against the United, and then a brace on Saturday. Just really showing signs of determination. And it's kind of what you were talking about there, James. You're looking at your full subs bench, every single one of them could start easily. And this is this is kind of something that I've mentioned a few times on the show leading into this season. It's not about a starting 11. It's about having 22 ready to play. And we're getting there. We're so close to having that. And that's worrying for every team out there, I think.
I think what you've got is 22 straining at the leash. Mm-hmm. Absolutely roaring to go.
Yep.
And
yep.
The moment they get an opportunity, they're going to smash right into games, you know, given that chance.
Yeah.
James, everything about that first goal by Abada, it was just very Celtic under Ange. High press. Jota then taking the throw at lightning speed, gets the ball across to O'Reilly, who flashes into a dangerous area. And Jota kind of doing what Jota does now, particularly against Borna Barisic, ghosting in, you Abada. Know, on what did I say?
Jota.
I'm so excited, James. I'm losing track of my names.
We'll come to him.
Abada coming in the blind side. And at that stage, you're just thinking, get on target, get your head over it. And he's done more than enough to get it by old lettuce hands, hasn't he?
What were Rangers training for if they weren't training for that? Because that it happened to them twice on yeah. Saturday. You just let him drift about. He's no danger. Come on, man.
Yeah. I think myself and Bridled on the post-match after the game, and we've spoken about how both Tavernier on his side and Basic, on his side, they get caught in the inside channel time after time after time, and they're not learning from it. And I think Van Bronckhorst must have something about him tactically to have taken that team to a final, but they don't seem to be learning from that at all.
Is there doubt on their two centre-halves?
Yes.
This is what I think. I think they're trying to cover for Goldson and for Sands. I looked at Tavernier with Barisic with the Abada second. He gets pulled away for Jackie Marcus. That's not even his man.
No.
Because Sands is nowhere near him. And then all of a sudden, Barisic is over to the right-hand side of the post where he should be covering the back post from where that is. Total disorganisation. And believe me, like when they're looking at your man Davies, who seems a bit of a sick note, and then they're looking at John Souter, who is a sick note, if that's going to be their centre-half pairing for the remainder of the season, please. This is what I'm talking about. They're dropping more points instead of just Celtic.
Some very strange stuff going on. Did they let Balogun go, freedom of contract?
And he had a good game against us last year, if I remember.
By all accounts, I don't know if he still lives near, but he's been going to Rangers games. So he's sitting in the stand and you're thinking,
hi guys.
They could probably do you a wee bit closer to the action. Anyway, we'll get into them in a wee second. Just in terms of Celtic and this opening to the season they've had, so from our seven games so far, we've now scored 29 goals, an average of how many a game?
4.117 or something.
It's not bad. 4.14, I'll give you that. Our resident mathematician there, Paddy. So 4.14 goals a game. We've conceded just two, an average of one every 3.5 games. And it's quite unique, Paddy, to hit such form so early in a season. So, you know, a huge part of that goal tally, of course, is the amount of creativity we've got in the park. And our second goal on Saturday, it comes via, I think, two of the most talented players we've seen at Celtic Park in some time. Paddy, do you want to talk us through that O'Reilly Jota masterclass that led to the second? It's an incredible goal.
It's ridiculous. I actually thought, and this is probably because I've been Mr. Cynical about Matt O'Reilly.
How dare you?
How dare I? I know. I just thought the pass, I was like, oh, he's maybe just too heavy. It's maybe just too heavy. And then just out of nowhere, the wee man just, oh, the control with that touch. And when you see the pass again on the TV, my word, what a ball. What a ball. Just so switched on to play it straight away. And just, I mean, the finish, guys. Wee Stevie, another wee shout out for you, mate, has put it in the top five. And, you know, a few were comparing it to Larson's. And just the technique, it's world class.
Yeah.
A world class finish.
I've said it's one of the best goals that Celtic have scored in that fixture against any version of Rangers. Dress it up how you want, just in terms of everything from start to finish. Listen, you can't forget to mention the sharpness from McGregor in the first place to say, there's three Rangers players around here, but if I get my skates on, I can get that to Matt O'Reilly.
Passes three of them.
One of the angles shows you Van Bronckhorst going ballistic in the sidelines, because that's been allowed to happen.
Did you see the two players, though, that were kind of in, like, where he put the ball in between?
Mm-hmm.
They thought they'd cover the angle. Yeah. Oh, they really did. They were like, aye, play your pass now.
O'Reilly's angle.
Okay, aye. No, sorry.
McGregor's angle. Just threaded it.
One of them moved. I think it was Kent moved over a bit. As like, I go play it now. Okay, there you go.
But then at that Paddy, so the much maligned Matt O'Reilly, three assists on the day. By the way,
incredible.
Yeah, incredible. When it gets to O'Reilly, there is a lot of work to be done.
Oh,
right? And there's so much at play for O'Reilly to see the pass is one thing, but for Jota, our left winger, to say, hold on a minute. So he switched on enough to say, Calmack might take this quickly. And the moment McGregor finds O'Reilly's feet, You can see the wide angle that Jota starts bombing across. He times his run to perfection. VAR or otherwise, that is right on line and it's a perfect run. Tavernier, who's meant to be marking him, might as well have been in the stands. Yeah. He's come blindsided of Goldson. He can do nothing. But then when the pass gets to Jota, well, I'm saying gets to Jota, Jota's athleticism makes sure it gets to him. Yeah. The first touch is sublime. What's the word after sublime, Paddy? Because that's what the second touch is.
Sublime times two.
Right? The finish, you think he's run out of places to go, and he just have the savvy, the technique, the confidence, the everything to lift it like that is unbelievable. And then to just top it off, he does this sensational celebration. It's phenomenal.
I think my favourite bit about it is that he turns away before it goes on the line.
Ah, cheeky man. See that?
I've been watching that all weekend and I laugh every time he does it.
I think when that goal went in, right, I don't know about yourselves, there was that silence in the stadium. It was just awe. Just sheer awe. I didn't even shout. I was just like, oh my God. Could not believe
it. It's just incredible.
I'd half, because of that, you think it's not over an inch too strong. It's only when you see it on telly and it's slowed down and stuff, and he's bursting along and he's just putting in these mad long strides because he knows he needs that or he's not getting it. I'd have turned away thinking, oh, he's not going to get it. Oh, man. You know, like,
right, well, that's what I'm saying. I was like, oh, for God's sake, Arelli, oh my God.
It was just sensational. And then even at that, you then get the unique angle video from Celtic on a Sunday. There's so much going on with that. You could take a show just to describe that in detail, but you see the angle from behind the goals, which is so good to watch. The Jota celebration, he has a wee bit of tussle with a couple of stewards who are getting a wee bit in his road. But then you see him jogging back up the park and checking himself out in the big screen. And why wouldn't you if you were Jota? Checking himself out, loving life. And I agree with Stevie. Stevie said top five, I'm putting it top three. Just a sensational goal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's trying to list him later on, but off the top of my head, I can't think of a four and a five. I'd go top three as well.
Yeah. We'll maybe do that in a special at some point.
Jota's top five goals.
I need to go for a lie down after
that. I know, I'm just
so excited.
Can we watch it?
Yeah. So beyond that, James, the Abada Maeda debate, that'll rage on probably for long as they both play at Celtic. But what's undeniable are the numbers that Leal Abada is providing at this moment in time. And he's only been at the club just over a year, 20 years of age. He's now at 6 goals and 1 assist for the season already. So 7 goal contributions in 7 games. And his second on the day, similar to the first, it's trademark Abada.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the players and their role within the team, their box, where they should be, what they should do. And Abada's role is just to, you know, watch what's going. Go near post if you want, but that's probably Jackie Macca's going to cover that. Why don't you drop off and see what happens there? And then if it does drop there, get your shot in hard and low, see what happens. Both his shots were the same. You know, his first one wasn't the cleanest, but it was enough to get it past. The second one, he just absolutely drills it. Mm-hmm. It's, again, great press, great pressure. He's got the ball in. I think Aureli could be doing him more credit than he's getting. I think he's, you know, somehow managed to mean that.
He's helped it in a dangerous area.
Yeah.
You reckon, you know, think maybe deflection on that one?
Oh, shocker.
No.
Shocker.
Credit where it's due, Pat.
No,
shocker,
no,
Paddy.
Absolutely. No, I just because, like, I'm talking about...
You let it go.
No. I'm not having a go at him here. I'm just thinking, like, just with the deflection it's taken.
I think he's opened his foot and his hands he's put in amazing, a dangerous area.
Oh, amazing. I mean, yeah. Absolutely amazing. The technique for Abada to put himself into that, like that left step
back.
Yeah. Ah, brilliant. Just great goal.
But that's, you know, this hard work they're doing day after day.
Yeah.
He must be just doing that non-stop in training.
That's the thing. None of this is by luck. This is pure design. You know, again, from the post-match, Brido speculated that potentially Abada will be working with the goalies like Joe Hart and others to say,
what's hard?
Take it early because that's difficult for us. Oh, and see if you get it. You can blame John McLaughlin for a lot on Saturday, and we will. But I don't think you can blame a goalie for that one. See, coming at that pace through his legs, you can't adjust your feet in time. And that's the benefit of Abada just saying, I can position my body in such a way that I can crack this here. And if it's on target and I keep it low, we've got a chance.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah, you can't complain.
And it is by design. You look at the way, I mean, every player knows a position. It's not always going to be the case, I'm going to be the goal scorer here. I think the way it kind of went to the byline, Jackie Macca's even knows at that point, right, this is probably not coming towards me, but I'm going to make the defender go with me. Yeah. Just so clever. Just
who was he did draw somebody and it just left it wide open. Was it Sands?
Barisic.
Wow.
Barisic. Sands, I don't know who Sands was, Martin. Honestly.
Yeah. I don't think Sands knows either.
No.
And that's the main thing. I think you can clearly tell that all of this has worked on. you know, your runs off the ball and the different things you do. You don't just make a run for the sake of it. You run in a certain area for a purpose, whether it's to create a space or take a guy with you or anything of that nature. And as I say, this just happens over time. You can't, and your system, simple as it looks, it's complex in its nature and how it's pulled together. And I think it's, you know, we're just seeing that after 12, 13, 14 months, now a wee bit gets added, and we're seeing exactly that. We all know how relentless, you know, this Celtic team can be and how lethal in front of goal that they've now become. You'll have seen the start. Rangers had 55% possession to Celtic's 45. Yeah. It's what you do with that possession.
What will you let you do it?
And we've just shown how effective. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, isn't it? Rangers can have, they can have 95% if they want, to be pedestrian and pop it around the back.
And it was very horizontal. It was your centre half to centre half without looking. And this is where there's real bravery in Celtic's team. The centre halves and the full backs are looking for the moves. And then, you know, when they need to, McGregor drops in and gives help there. Didn't see any of that for Rangers. It was just passing it to you. I don't want it. You take it. I don't want it, you take it. And that's where you get 55% possession with no product.
Passing without a purpose. Yeah. What's the point in it?
Well, we're forcing them to do it, though. This is the thing. And this is how clever we are. We come into the game with so much energy for the get-go. It's almost as if the team are like, right, get into the position and take a breather here. Let's re-energise and for the next state of play, almost. The movement from effectively like our midfield three, and then our back four, throughout the full game, whether we're attacking or whether we're defending, was unbelievable. Everyone knew where to be. And it, even to the point they were playing passes without even looking up.
Hatate, man.
I know. What a game, by the way. I was
understated.
Totally. Some of his passing was ridiculous.
Volleys. That volleyed one where he zipped it, he cut through it and zipped it across the park.
Through two Rangers players. I know. Oh, man.
Nonsense by that young man.
But it's the movement for me for the inverted fullbacks. This is the massive thing for us because they do not know how to contain that at all.
It's hard.
It's very difficult.
And they're not the only side.
No,
you know,
no.
Let's hope Real Madrid also don't know how to contain it. No one in the dressing room will have said it out loud, or at least no one in the Celtic dressing room will have said it out loud, but that game's done by half-time, isn't it?
Aye.
Oh, no complaints. You know, you can bring Ryan Jack on to hit the bar if you want. You're still not winning that game.
Yeah.
You know?
So there have been a number of substitutions taking place early in the second half. I know that many fans were eagerly anticipating the prospect of maybe getting another glimpse of Sead Haksabanovic, given his cameo.
I thought that was very merciful. Not to bring him on.
Very kind.
Very kind.
Very kind.
Lenient.
But yeah, you know, so I know that a lot of fans will be disappointed not to have seen him. But be honest, James, disappointed as you were, how absolutely delighted were you to see Alfredo Morelos make his mark on the 60th minute?
So somebody saw somebody reading the day, the crowd erupted when Jack Amagas came on, and it was only surpassed when Morelos came on. Right. As you said, I think it was in the pre-match show, there's certain guys I want to have a front row seat for this, and that was definitely one of them.
Scotty Arfield, Fashion Sakala, and Alfredo.
Got my favourites. Tick, tick, tick.
I mean, do you think Morelos turned around to Gio at 60 minutes and went, you're joking me, eh?
is this my punishment for that?
Aye.
Look at the shape of me, Gio. Are you kidding me on? Not to body shame anybody.
Still got his elbow in.
Aye, and he'll always try that. But no, great to see him enjoy the final half hour with a front row seat. David Turnbull, he's another one who did come off the bench with about 20 minutes to go, got his name in the score sheet following an inch-perfect pass by John McLaughlin. Turnbull's tucked it away nicely, and at that point, I think McLaughlin's head's just gone. Mm-hmm. You know, I've spoken about how he's had a very poor first half. He'll have been thinking, have I blown it here ahead of a Champions League campaign that he maybe never get a chance again to appear in.
You bringing the Mad Monk back? Come on.
Who knows?
They're all crying for McCrory. I think this is time to give him a chance.
Young McCrory, 26 years old.
Exactly.
And 26.
I'd seen someone make the comment about this is them having their Barkas, Hazard,
Ian Andrews,
and Bain moment. Right,
we'll suck it up because it was
enjoy
bad enough
lads,
for us.
Great.
But at that point, when Turnbull tucks that away, Rangers are just desperate for the bus at that stage.
Yes, 100%. You could just see the frustration grow, and I kind of wish we kept the foot on the gas, but then you're thinking about Tuesday, of course. It could have been a lot more than four. We've said that. I've just never seen them arrive at Celtic Park and just leave like that. Like one of their better teams, so-called better teams.
Yep.
Seen a few of them saying this is like the Murty days, and that definitely performance brought it back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just think, you know, even at 1-0, you look at the likes of Tillman, you look at the likes of their urgency to even try and get like the ball for a throw-in. They were just so lackluster in the sense that they probably have happily went out there with a draw, and it almost looked as if they were doing the old Hearts thing, time wasting that.
I think the goalie mistake came from when they were just messing about and time wasting.
They're 3-0 down and they're thinking, let's play around. You mentioned Tillman there, Paddy. Shades of Ahmed Diallo from February that night where he was just rabbit in the headlights. And I think Tillman, who I think is a decent player, and I watched some of their games, and I think he just got spooked by the whole occasion. Don't get me wrong, I believe he's a number 10 and they played him out at right wing. And that's the point. I mean, James, on that note, I was going to ask a question of what a result like that does to Rangers psychologically. So they've been borderline humiliated by their biggest rivals. They've got a goalie who's forgotten where his gloves are. They've got a striker that doesn't want to be there. They've got a centre-half in James Sands, who for a start is a midfielder, but who was also more interested in swapping tops with Jota after the game. And why wouldn't you, Paddy, if you get that opportunity?
Jota said no.
Yeah, respectfully, no. So, I mean, where does that leave them, James? There's a lot wrong at the moment. 37-year-old Steve Davis, the engine room. I mean, I could go on 90 minutes, man.
And 90 minutes and then saying, go and chase that, mate. The guy's like, absolutely not.
I loved it when he goes past them, but just,
you can see it. You can see the kind of thought process. Not for me.
But do you think that deal was a blow psychologically?
It's a wee bit, like I've been saying about the false read. There's been some real sliding door moments, and I include getting to a Europa League final there last year. That could have gone completely the other way on 5 or 6 occasions, and it's been the same. They get beat with Union
Saint-Gallois
away. And then they decided not to turn up for the second leg. Mm-hmm. PSV didn't do much at Ibrox and then did 0 in Netherlands. So these are things that are giving them confidence, but you're saying that wasn't really your gift. You know, that was the opposition, and you're reading far too much into that. So, you know, they've had, you know, drop points against Tibbs. They were lucky not to be a man down against Ross County, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of things that could have gone against them. So they've got this false confidence, and that has really reset them. What they're now staring at is top quality football teams playing against them in the Champions League. What that might do to their confidence, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what it does.
I will be digging out my scarf for Wednesday night. I genuinely love to spend a lot more time on this one. I really would, but we've just got so much to get through on today's show, various different topics, as I'd mentioned. So I'll just ask for each of your final words on Saturday before we move on. I'll come to you first, Paddy.
Just a real statement in a game where I'm so glad we went for it. You know, there was no fear shown for that team at all on Saturday. And we'd given ourselves that nice wee cushion. We'd been 2 points ahead of them before the game. And I just thought, yeah, I wasn't surprised that it was 4-0. I really wasn't. And we'll kick on for there. I do believe it will be 20 plus points, but I know it is a game by game thing, but I think that has been a massive blow to them. And I also don't think they realise that this might be their luck finally running out for some of the games that they've went through over the last season.
You might well be right. Just to mark that, you're saying game by game, Celtic have now gone 38 games unbeaten, so the equivalent of a full league programme since their last defeat last September. And it's just getting more impressive with each passing week, James.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a, I don't want to say culmination because there's a lot more to come, but it's the manifestation of what Ange promises. And the players, you know, you saw Jota's interview and it wasn't like, I'm not allowed to talk about it. And Jota was like, that's not where our heads are at all. That is 3 points. And we're now starting to play the football that we've been trained to do. And they've gone into that game on Saturday not thinking we're playing Rangers. They're thinking we've got a game to win here. Mm-hmm. And that's how it'll be tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. So if you want to hear more from us on Saturday's game, then we've got a special extended episode of our post-match show, The Final Whistle. That's available now at the Celtic Exchange Plus. Where myself and Bride will go into a lot more detail on where it went so right for Celtic and so wrong for Rangers on the day. If you don't already subscribe to the Celtic Exchange Plus, we're currently giving all new listeners a free 7-day pass where you can enjoy all of our additional unique Celtic content, and you can get your pass now at thecelticexchange.supercast.com. In addition to that post-match show from the weekend, we'll also have extensive coverage of the Real Madrid game, including the pre- and post-match shows for that one, as well as a whole host of other special shows for you to enjoy. So sign up for your free 7-day pass now and make sure you don't miss a thing on or off the park as Celtic head into some of the biggest games in a long, long time. All information and our 60-second sign-up process can be found at thecelticexchange.supercast.com. The transfer window closed, /slammed shut, Paddy, on Thursday night at midnight, and I think it's fair to say that just about every Celtic fan, not everyone, but you know, was pretty pleased with the work done. James, if Carlsberg done transfer windows and all that, but it seems that we achieved each of the following objectives. Number one, retain all of our priority players, Josip Juranovic, etc. Number two, re-sign key players, Jota and Carter Vickers. Three, bring in cover for key positions such as goalkeeper, left back, number six and winger. And number four, and it's a big one as well, move on some of those big earners. Julian and Bolingoli are now off on a permanent basis. Ayeti and Barkas are out on loan. James, how do you think we fared overall?
It's one of my top three transfer windows of all time.
I mean, it's a big favourite. I mean, I'm looking forward to the highlight DVD coming out of that transfer window.
When have we ever, not just achieved, right? Because, you know, I'm saying transfers can be difficult. Not if you've got your stall set out right. You know, they've got a 1, 2, 3 for each position, and they know the contractual positions of those players. As well as why they want them in the team, and they just went about it really professionally. They got it done early when they could get it done early. They got it done late when it had to be done late, you know. And they worked. There's a lot of work going behind the scenes there, that from a lot of kind of people won't get any credit. You know, real hard workers just beavering away. The prep for it, the execution of it. You know, Michael Nicholson would, you know, been talking him up a fair bit, but there's also, I don't know how much influence Lowell the younger is having at the moment, if he's in yet. But it will certainly be from afar feeding into it. So, and then the structure of that scouting and talent team, I think hats off to a lot of them. Andrew's obviously very heavily involved in it too, but not as professional, the most professional transfer window performance I've ever seen at Celtic. Wow.
Yeah, impressive stuff. Paddy, can you see Dudahan phoning Celtic and no answer?
Just sitting staring at the phone.
Texting his mates, have Celtic changed their number?
Do you know what he needs to stop doing? Putting up videos of Abada after he plays well.
Is that right?
Aye. Stop it.
he's not daft, and you can see exactly why he'd be doing that. But no, it's clear. And do you know, Celtic are getting players from a wide range of areas. You know, obviously we know all about the Japanese guys. We've now seemingly got some sort of relationship with Ruben Kazan.
not one that they like.
No. They can't be too pleased about that. But players coming from all corners of the globe and impressing in a variety of ways. I think you're right, James. I don't know if Mark Lowell has started just yet. I think he had an extended notice period with the City group, and it's been pretty quiet on that front, but I would expect that he'll certainly be in place shortly and absolutely for the January window, depending on what the plans are there. Paddy, it's undeniable just how much Michael Nicholson and co have really bought into Ange's vision, and they've absolutely backed him from day one, haven't they?
Yeah, what was it, the tweet the other day? Michael Nicholson's treating Ange like an only child.
Giving him everything he wants.
He's giving him everything he wants. Absolutely brilliant. And I just think, no, it's these wee moves, especially to Ruben Kazan. Obviously, we've seen Starfelt coming in last season, and you're playing it at the. I've never watched a Russian Premier League game, but they're there or thereabouts with the Champions League. They've got plenty of teams there, and they do qualify for Europe quite consistently. So you've got a good standard of player playing over there. And obviously, a lot of these guys that we're bringing in, I just think that they will have been playing at a good level. They will have probably had opportunities from where they were playing, like obviously Abelgaard when he was playing in Denmark. I think it was his performances in Denmark, and then he's moved to Ruben Kazan that got him in for his first cap with the Danish team, but possibly just a bit difficult in who's in front of him. He's not been able to kind of cement that. So these guys are probably coming over here raring to go to just show, hang on, I'm a good player. I've played there just now, but this is why I've went for the money, possibly, yes, over there, but now I'm going to come and show what I'm capable of. So it's exciting to see what they can do, but they're going to be a good, strong calibre of footballer.
There's no doubt, and it meets that Ange criteria, James, that you've spoken about, of he wants hungry players. He wants guys that are at an age where they want to go and prove themselves. Yeah. I think you're right, Paddy. I think he's got one cap for Denmark. Mm-hmm. They're at the World Cup, I'd presume.
Yeah.
I need to check that. A guy at 26 wants to say, well, hold on a minute. You don't get many World Cups. I want to make sure that I'm part of that. So he will absolutely be desperate to show between what now, start of September and moving into November, that he's you know, worthy of a place in that Danish squad. So obviously, we're talking about Oliver Abelgaard. Is that the way to pronounce it?
Abelgaard.
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 Anyway.
Well, that's the one.
We should really know that.
Definitely should. So
names. Remember names of Celtic players before doing podcasts.
About Celtic.
It's funny, we, you know, it almost seemed that, to your joking point about Michael Nicholson, everything is a fan you wished for. There you go. There's your goalie backup. What, left back? We'll get you one of them. One of number six. Yep, there you are. So the number six that we were all crying out for, it seems to be Oliver Abelgaard, the 26-year-old Danish midfielder. He's 6'4", one cap for Denmark. He's going to be our number 28 for Celtic. And we signed him on deadline day to make it our third player in recent times to come from Rubin Kazan, following Starfelt and Hak Sabanovic. It kind of seems that we've become to Rubin Kazan what Southampton are to us. Mm-hmm. We just watch these players do their thing and say, ah, that'll do, we'll take them over.
What Southampton used to be.
That's correct. That's all changed.
That game has changed.
But it seems that for now at least, it's a bit complex in terms of his deal, given what's going on in Russia. He's certainly going to be here for the year, and there's a bit of debate at what will happen beyond that. But we finally get that cover at number six that we've been crying out for.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's really needed because bring all the changes for Ross County. Who's the number six? Calmac.
Right.
No break. You know what I mean? And eventually his body's just going to say, right, that's enough kind of thing. He didn't even really take a break in the summer there. He was playing for Scotland and all sorts, you know. Mm-hmm. So wherever possible, we'd like to see, you know, him, you know, both let Calmac, you know, explore the advanced role he was so successful in under Rodgers and co. But also just to let him get his feet up and watch the telly, you know.
Yeah, just to relax a bit. I don't know how fit Abelgaard will be, Barry. I don't know where he's been playing most recently. Did he, like Hak Sabanovic, did he get game time somewhere when Ruben were,
I think he was on loan to Djurgårdens over in Sweden. But again, I don't even know if he's had a pre-season with them. So I think I remember reading something, he has been training himself back home. So yeah, it will take him a bit of time to get up to speed, but you know, he's got the time to do it just now. Yeah. I'm sure he is registered in the Champions League squad as well.
He is.
Yeah. So that's
the Gucci dropped it.
Right.
The Gucci man, remember him?
Yeah.
Just
it's a shame. Aye. It's a shame for him. He's just not had a run at it at all. No,
nobody knows.
No.
You know, you can't say for sure either way. But I know that when we were signing, you know, ex G League players, everyone said he's the guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy to watch.
Yeah, there was high hopes for him, and hopefully he can shake off his injury worries and start to show us what he can do.
Depends, you know, if this loan deal doesn't work out with Abelgaard, then we bring him back in potentially if he gets a run at things. But we can't wait on it. We can't take the risk, and that's just the
you can't wait, and Ange isn't waiting. You know, we've taken action between him and Nicholson and the board. They've taken action and they've made sure that we're covered right across the board. And I mean, just on that note, as we kind of round up the transfer chat, where would you rate the window on an out of 10 basis, Paddy? Where would you put that?
10.
10, James?
Yeah. Why would you get 9? That's a 10, aye.
11 for me. Aye. I just think everything we asked for and a wee bit more we've got, and it's just...
They're getting the players out, it's huge.
It's unheard of at Celtic, and it's got to be a positive moving forward, so let's see how they all play out. Moving forward, not a section we can spend too much time on, unfortunately, but Celtic travelled to the Highlands last Wednesday and took care of business in a very efficient way against Ross County in the Premier Sports League Cup. Ange made no less than 9 changes to the starting lineup for that one, and goals from Callum McGregor, Georgios Giakoumakis, Daizen Maeda and James Forrest were enough to see us take our place in the quarterfinals, where we'll face Motherwell at Fir Park next month. Paddy, your thoughts on that one in general and how it played out? It's impressive to win so convincingly after making so many changes.
Yeah, very difficult place to go to, as we've seen in the past, for any team. And I just think that I'd like to just give a shout out to Anthony Ralston. I just thought, 100%. My, the 2 assists. Just,
and determination.
He's putting himself into positions where he's going to get clattered, but he's not caring because he's going to get the ball in. And it's just that commitment and determination to hit the byline. And he's 2 great assists. I just thought he was really solid for us. And even he's on a defensive side as well. He just looks very... very assured, very comfortable and confident about himself, and a player who will be used a lot this season.
Absolutely. Don't read into the lack of appearances so far. No. It's going to be the other side of the season.
That's what sells newspapers. That is like I've said, this is a season of sheer rotation for this team, and every player will be needed.
Yeah, and it's pleasing to see Ralston and anyone else that comes in just giving us all a reminder of what they can do. And if something were to happen to Juranovic or Andrew just felt he needed a bit of rest, you'd be pretty happy with Ralston stepping in, no doubt. And we've got a lot of that going across the park. James Miff will be delighted that I'm coming to you for this next one, but James Forrest's goal means that he's now scored in 14 straight seasons for Celtic. That is an incredible record in modern football, isn't it?
That's his job. No, of course it is. You know, I'll say it again, and I've said it many times. I think James Forrest is a better player than James Forrest thinks he is. It's all in his head. There's heights that he's hit, and he could have gone a lot higher. I think he's got bags of talent, and of course he's towards twilight of his career as a winger and all that stuff, but guy knows what the goal is, always did, you know, he could just have done more. So that's my only criticism of Forrest, is that I think he left a bit in the tank from a confidence point of view.
Mm. I'll ask James to show you his medal collection next time, you tell him he could have done more.
We'll compare. Yeah. He's going to be, is he not already Celtic's third decorated player?
I don't know, I mean.
I think so.
Between you and James Forrest, you've got about 9 Celtic League winners medals, X.
Have you seen the other stat that he's probably going to hit?
100 goals or something.
No, he's
only 2 players have scored 100 goals or over 100 goals and had over 100 assists.
Yeah. And I think he's sitting around about 99 for both.
Yeah. 99, 98, I think, for goals and then 98 for assists.
Yeah, so I'll go on well. James will cross both of those milestones this season.
Who's the other two?
Jimmy Johnson.
Bobby Lennox.
And Bobby Lennox.
I don't know.
No more hosting for you.
Guys, if you can tweet in the answer to that trivia question that Paddy doesn't know. I'm sure Bobby Lennox was one of them. But
Jimmy Johnson definitely is.
Okay, so, well, that's him then. Yeah. But yeah, no, delighted for James Forrest. And he's, just in terms of the finish against Ross County, he's sorted his feet out quite well. Ralston's done brilliantly, cut it back, and it's a smart finish by James Forrest. I think Ange's seen the professionalism from James Forrest. Yeah. I think he knows he's not going to start many games for us. He's possibly not going to get too many minutes off the bench either, depending on how things play out. But I think he needs guys like James Forrest. I think going into the Real Madrid game, actually, Callum McGregor and James Forrest are the only players with Champions League experience for Celtic. You've got Tom Rogic out the picture now and various others.
For Celtic, aye.
Yeah. And James Forrest is important to that. I think he's also, you know, he's quite a quiet guy by nature, but I think he carries the message, and I think he trains in a very dedicated and professional way, and Ange needs that. Mm-hmm. We spoke earlier in the show about how it's not just about what turns up on a Saturday for Celtic and what we see from the stadium. It's everything that's going on behind the scenes at Lennox Town, and, you know, Ange needs a certain amount of players for various drills, and, you know, I'm sure they've got, you know, 11v11 bounce games and different things. And I think it sounds like, from what Ange said, that James Forrest has become a real trustworthy guy in terms of that. And I think he's playing his part. Sometimes we'll see it in the park, sometimes we won't. But James Forrest, he's a modern day Celtic legend, no matter how you want to dress that up. And to score 14 straight seasons, it's phenomenal, and credit to him for that. As I say, we can't spend too much more time, in fact, any time, on Ross County. But a more detailed post-match reaction to that can be found again at the Celtic Exchange Plus. Next up, the big one. So Tuesday of this week sees us make a long-awaited return to the Champions League after 5 years in the wilderness. Last time out was the 2017-18 season, which was Brendan Rodgers' second at the club, where we found ourselves in a group with Bayern Munich, PSG and Anderlecht, and we took a couple of real sore ones in that campaign. And to be honest with you, you've touched on, James, I think we looked ill-prepared for football at that level. We now seem a very different proposition this time around under Ange. How do you think we're going to fare this time out?
The group or tomorrow night?
The group in general.
First or second in the group?
That's what you're saying.
I think well, second should be our bottom line target for that group. And there's not to be any arrogance over Leipzig and
Shakhtar.
They're experienced, and they're Champions League experienced teams. I just wonder, is our football starting to click that well that we shouldn't have any fears home or away against teams? So it's not, you know, we were on Leverkusen and, you know, it was very close there. You know, we could have won that game, but personnel, the second string personnel that we all saw coming off the bench, it was just such a gap. Mm-hmm. Not the case anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to have confidence from that. There's no way we shouldn't be looking to, we can't forecast drawing tomorrow because we don't know how. So it's going to be who scores the most goals. It really is. You know, I don't know what shape they're like at the back. I know they're dynamite going forward. But we are stingy enough at the back, and we're dynamite going forward. So, I mean, it's just got to be a great game of football. Has to be.
It's good. I think so.
Paddy, some interesting insight there. Who knew that in football, the one that scores the most goals wins the game?
It's the way it is.
It's groundbreaking stuff.
It's a numbers game.
I mean, James has mentioned there, though, the players they've got on offer. So Benzema, he looks a stick on to pick up the Ballon d'Or when that's announced in November. Yeah. They've also got Vinicius Jr., Thibaut Courtois and Antonio Rudiger, who they signed from Chelsea on a free, they've also all been shortlisted for the Ballon d'Or. So just in case Benzema doesn't get it, they've got a few others waiting in the wings. They've got danger all over the park. And the question is, can our defence cope with that?
I think tomorrow our defence will be a team of 11 at certain points. And that's kind of what I'm going back to. It's going to be a different pressure from what we face on Saturday. Absolutely. But watching, I wouldn't be surprised if we were implementing tactics that we're going to try and use against Madrid, against Rangers on Saturday. Just the way we were holding off at certain points, allowing them to play with the ball. Every player was switched on and looking at how it was going to fold. But the one thing you notice about the top three, they were ready the minute we got possession back.
Cool.
And that's going to be huge for us tomorrow night, I think. We are very, very good going forward. We'll give any team a bit of trouble, but it's how we soak up the pressure. And I think concentration is so key for us. It's critical tomorrow night.
I think what we're seeing at the moment under Ange is, you know, when he came in at first last season, it was about him getting across the key headline messages and the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And now that we're in year two and he's had the summer to work on it, you know, and those various training sessions between games for the first 3-4 weeks there, he's now saying, right, you know the fundamentals and this is a wee adjustment here. Mm-hmm. And a wee tweak here, and we turn this up and we turn that down, and you know, small tactics like you've mentioned there in the Rangers game. And I think you're right, I think we'll be implementing things against Real Madrid that we maybe don't see domestically, and it might even be things that most of us don't see. Mm. You know, you maybe need to be a real student of the game and, you know, follow all the lines in the movement to say, oh, do you know what, Jota's 5 yards further in the field or whatever it might be. Yeah. But I think there's going to be tweaks and adjustments based on who we play. Fundamentally, Ange changes for no one. Mm. That is set in stone. But he will very probably make some adjustments on the night.
He's trying to educate the Scottish football media in this, because they're just saying, oh, you're a one-trick pony, you're just going to, you know, play your attacking football and get 1,000. And he's saying, no, that's the way I play football. There is such variation within that.
Yeah.
You know, so they all know what they're doing, but there'll be variation within that. And, you know, I think you're right. There'll be wee tweaks that, you know, might be imperceptible to the layperson, but it will be effective. I saw his interview today. I've never seen a man more comfy in his own skin getting into play the European Champions. Yeah. It really was. And it wasn't like lackadaisical or arrogant or anything like that. It was just like, I know what I'm doing. And this is the same as a Tree Ross County, because I set my guys out to win the game and he'll be doing the same tomorrow night. If you haven't seen it yet, go and watch that interview of Ange for the Champions League press conference. Did you see it live?
Yes, so I was fortunate enough to be there. So I was there for the Celtic Exchange. And yeah, you know, you're seeing it firsthand just how much he believes in himself. Mentioned it before, don't ever confuse confidence with arrogance, but this is a man fully confident in what he offers and what his team offers as a result. Very calm, you know, respectful of everything, mm-hmm. but going all out to win. That is basically what he's saying. But we're also fortunate enough to speak to Matt O'Reilly there. Don't
did
tell me.
Did you see him in person? In the face?
Oh my goodness. I was shaking like a leaf, James. I wasn't, but Miff will be devastated he missed that, man. But I tell you something, Matt O'Reilly, a real mature head on his 21-year-old shoulders, a really balanced individual. But again, he was asked by one of the journalists about, do they genuinely believe that they can go and, you know, prove a point and take some points off of Real Madrid? And he, you know, with not a hint of arrogance, he said, absolutely. Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah. Why would we be here? Yeah. They genuinely, listen, you know that Ange believes it and it's now filtered through and they all buy into it. He made the comment, you'll be able to catch this presser in full on YouTube as well, but he basically said, we were talking at lunch after training, we all believe we're going to get something. And it's kind of hairs in the back of your neck to hear them talk, because it's a genuine belief. Now, the proof will be in the pudding in terms of what they do, but they think they've gone beyond just thinking they can get to this stage and, you know, be in the same park as these teams. There's a genuine belief throughout this team that we can go and do something.
Yeah, because they're playing football as it should be played. And, you know, European champions like Real Madrid play football as it should be played. So you've now got two teams with varying budgets, but with similar philosophies in how to play football. Yeah. So they've got all the evidence of last year and the nearly stuff in Europe last year, which, you know, there was a lot of learning to be done from that, and learn they did. But the personnel change, you know, take me from Betis and Leverkusen to tomorrow night, and the personnel that's around that team is massive.
Well, see, just on that note, it cannot be underestimated the huge difference in the teams that that will start for Celtic in this Champions League group than what started in the Europa last year. At times, with every respect to Adam Montgomery, Sorrow, Albin Ayeti, they've started games for us in the Europa last season, and we've all, you know, almost done something in that tournament, let alone anything else. You now fast forward to where we are today, and the starting 11, if there is such a thing in an Ange team, but the starting 11 and the 11 that are in reserve, it's night and day, and it's so impressive. In terms of Madrid, I read an interesting article by Steve McManaman. He was talking about them, obviously, you know, played and won at least a couple of European Cups, I think, for them. Scored a big goal for Liverpool against Celtic at Celtic Park, remember that?
That's an incredible goal.
So the guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to European football and certainly Real Madrid. He has a sneaking suspicion that Celtic will go through with Madrid, and he thinks that Madrid being traditional slow starters, we could get something from this one tomorrow night. He also said that, quote unquote, Madrid always concede goals, and I wasn't sure entirely what he meant by that, so I looked into the results for this season so far. Now, I'm going to caveat this with the fact that they've won all four of their league games so far, but they've conceded a goal in the first half in each game, and that's against some mixed opposition, some limited stuff. I think it's Almeria and Real Betis and different things. So they're there to be got at. You're right, James. Dynamite going forward, potentially suspect at the back. This Celtic side can score against anybody. And if Celtic score early, Paddy, and you've got that roaring home crowd behind us, who's to say that something special won't happen?
I totally agree. I think the big factor for me is that obviously, yes, but we're all saying that we can get something. And I generally do believe we can. And I think the players do as well. We've seen it before when we've come up against, you know, giants of European football. Especially, I remember a game against Bayern Munich. We gave a great account of ourselves at Celtic Park. There was just that little bit of, I don't know. I don't know if the occasion got some of the players, and Bayern obviously, you know, some incredible players. Yeah, they were very clinical. That's what we need to be. I just think that Ange, albeit he's saying, yeah, we're definitely going for the win, he just needs to let these guys know how much almost the pressure is off, in a sense, just to relax himself. You are playing the European champions here, you know. Go and just be comfortable and enjoy. And what does he always say? Have fun. Have
Would
fun.
You say you are playing European champions? Relax.
There's a bit of that going on.
No, absolutely. But what I'm meaning in that sense
enjoy,
is that
you've got to this stage.
The fans, win, lose, or draw for this game tomorrow, we want to see a great attempt, but they just need to know that everyone's going to be backing them. Yeah. No matter if they get beat. Yeah. We obviously don't want to get horsed, right? Yeah. I don't think we're going to get horsed tomorrow night.
I mean, when Matt O'Reilly was speaking earlier, he was asked the question about how do you deal with the challenges of, you know, Vinicius Jr. and Toni Kroos and Luka Modric and all these global names, global superstars. And he said that, and listen, again, this is just very balanced. He says, it's just 11 guys v 11. I don't see them as the superstars. We are Celtic, they're Madrid, and we'll go and see where we land. And I think that's the message and the headspace for the whole team. I think, yeah, they're respectful. Of course they are. Madrid are 14 times European champions. They're the current holders. They are Real Madrid. But I think Celtic have just got this quiet confidence. We'll do our own thing in the background and we'll see what it takes us. And that's the mood of the camp.
The two games against them, though, the best times to play them. It's really, really landed well for us.
What do you mean, 8 o'clock?
Aye.
You're right, though. First game and last game?
First game and last game, you know. And I was laughing with the boys. I says, we could be getting into the Bernabeu and knocking the ball about with Madrid as the two of us
head play
through.
Out a draw.
Imagine that.
The same thing. It was at East Germany, something we pulled a couple of years ago, and it's just an exhibition game.
Aye. But I think that, going back to your point about where you think we maybe finish, I would still be really, really happy with third, in the sense that, you know, like, I think that is a great progress for us to then go on and do well in Europa League. But second is 100% there for the taking.
Shoot for the moon, Paddy.
Shoot for the moon.
Let's go high, see where we land. In terms of practicalities and squad availability for the game, it seems that Kyogo's going to be fit.
Yeah.
So he trained this morning. Matt O'Reilly was asked directly and he says, yep, Kyogo seems like Kyogo. So it kind of glint in his eye stuff. But it seems that Kyogo will be fit. Bit less sure on Starfelt, and it looks like a knee-ish or a knee niggle there from the weekend. So that might be a question mark. But, I mean, James, is there any, you know, fitness aside, any notable lineup changes to be discussed? Abad has got to retain his place, hasn't he?
I agree.
Despite the fact that Maeda offers something very different. I mean, you look a wee bit unsure of that.
Huge Abada fan, you know, and I think, you know, even Saturday I was saying I would have gone against my preference and put Maeda in because of what he can do. Is that argument still extant just now because he's able to, you know, give guys run-ins that maybe Abada can't. But Abada's going, I just score goals against them. Aye. You know?
I mean, Ange, they give you very different things. Maeda is such a grafter and he puts in such a shift and it's very effective, but there's no doubt Abada gives you the goals and assists that Maeda doesn't. And goals. I think if Ange's ever got a question, do I go slightly more defensive or offensive?
Yeah,
the latter is the answer.
So that, I think, is about
that. And I think as well, kind of said on Saturday, like if you are Barisic, you're looking at Maeda coming on with half an hour to go.
Terrifying.
Steve Davis and Goldson. And
I know. Yeah. But then, you know, having Maeda coming on, whether it be 30, 20 minutes, and having a run at Madrid defence if we needed it.
I know.
It's not a bad position to be at as well.
It doesn't matter how good a defender you are, whether it's Rudiger or is it Carvajal that plays it right back. And they've got so much talent. It doesn't matter how good you are. See if Maeda's running at you. That's terrifying. Right. For any footballer at any level in the world, that is a nightmare to deal with.
Away from you with the ball.
Exactly. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I think they'll both play a big part, but I think Abada will start. Hopefully Kyogo's fit enough to start. Yeah.
Do you start him then? Who? After Giakoumakis has shown Saturday?
Well, there is a question in terms of Celtic may not, in fact, will likely not dominate possession on the night. And Giakoumakis is the kind of number nine who can hold it up for a time. So if you're needing a chance to breathe in the game and find your way in, I think he's the man. But I did make the point that special occasions call for special players, and Kyogo Furuhashi is a special player, and I think that's why he plays.
You sign Kyogo Furuhashi to play up front against Real Madrid.
Aye.
that is simple as that. That's it. That's how it happens. So hopefully Kyogo's 100% good to go, Starfelt, and Ange is a full complement to choose from. Lads, I'll need to come to you for the scoreline predictions. So last time we played against Madrid was in the quarterfinals of the European Cup, as it was at the time, in March 1980. George McCluskey and Johnny Doyle scored the goals at Celtic Park to give us a 2-0 win, but we couldn't hold out in the return leg in the Bernabeu and lost 3-0, and that was us. How do you think it's going to go this time around?
2-0 Celtic.
James?
5-4 Celtic.
You're nice. Going to get a reputation nice. For the mad scoreline prediction guy.
I know, but I keep putting a pound on it, and one of these days I'm going to be 10 grand.
you went 7-0 v Hearts, finished 2-0. 6-2 v Rangers, just there.
You're
a bit closer.
Close
so you're getting closer. Aye, is this what you're saying?
Ready for tomorrow.
So 5-4. I'll need to dig out the odds on that. I'm in a similar vein of thought, but I'm going for 3-2. I think we could win for a bit of a topsy-turvy night. They score, we score, they score, we score. But there's just something about Celtic just now and how they're shaping up, and I think it could be a very special night at Celtic Park. So I'm going to go 3-2 and equally delighted whoever in this room gets it right. Let's see how it goes. Lads, I'm sorry to do this, but I'm going to take you from the very dizzy heights of a Champions League glamour tie with Real Madrid to a Scottish Premiership scrap with Livingston on Saturday. It's just what I need to do, Paddy. That's them's the breaks. So, not one for dwelling on, given how much we've had to cover on the show here, but you know, your thoughts in general, Paddy, and we'll very quickly have to turn these thoughts to this one after all the glamour of Tuesday night.
100%. You're looking at a really strong starting 11 tomorrow. And then I think we'll kind of see not a huge amount of changes the way we had against Ross County, but you wouldn't be surprised if 4 or 5 from that team at Ross County slot in on Saturday as well, just to keep things fresh and ready for Shakhtar. I think this, you know, they're not the easiest to come up against. They're quite stuffy, but at Celtic Park at times lately, we've ran over them. I don't see it being too different. I don't think they've had kind of like a mixed start of the season. And I just think we'll be too much. I just think we're going to be too much for everyone this season. I really do. I wouldn't be surprised if we do an unbeaten number the way that they look. And if we keep that consistency, then it's games like this on Saturday, you just go and try and run over the top of them again.
If we continue to play the way we have been playing domestically, James, nobody can live with that. Home and away, you know, Celtic Park, Global Energy Stadiums, Tannadice, whatever you want to do it, Celtic seem to be turning up time after time.
Yeah, and you know, you made the point earlier on, the level of hunger in that squad is ridiculous.
They are not hungry, James, they are starving.
They're starving. but it's not just hunger out of, you know, I deserve, it's hunger out of, I'm good enough. Get some money and put on a Haksabanovic hat trick against Livingston.
Oh.
100%.
Hold on a minute. 5-4 Team Madrid and double that with a Haxa treble
and then just chuck the work.
Yeah, right,
then
retire. Tell your boss you won't be back.
My God.
But we'll see. I have to say I'm very excited at the prospect of seeing him whenever it might be, whether he gets a role against Madrid. I'd like to think so, I really would. I think potentially the Livingston game's made for him. Yeah. So we're going to see some of him very soon. He looks a really exciting player, and there's so much going on, isn't there? You know, you're buzzing with Jota reaching new levels. Abada's, you know, continuing to kick on. Kyogo's Kyogo. There's so much going on. You're struggling to kind of, you know, land on one favourite to watch because it's...
We barely mentioned Greg Taylor.
GT,
outstanding.
Great performance.
Yeah, so some brilliant stuff. I mean, Paddy, you touched on Livingston, though. They are an opponent we've struggled against at times, and I think we drew one each with them just around about this time last year at Celtic Park, the game where Jackie Marcus missed that penalty right at the end. So we have had our issues, but we've spoken about the evolution of this Celtic side. Will it be a very different story this time around?
Absolutely, yeah. Not just a strong performance, but a real doing.
Yeah.
They've found different ways to unlock different types of setups. It's a, this is sounding arrogant, but it's a how would you like to be beat kind of situation. If you go super defensive, we've got something for that. If you go super physical, we can deal with that. We've got ideas for all these things, but they haven't even seen some of the players we're going to bring on. You know, I really think there's so much talent in that squad. We'll be well ready for that.
Yeah, David Martindale will not be happy, Paddy.
Get him on the podcast.
Get him on the show.
Love scoring on the podcast of teams he doesn't support.
He's a real Scottish football kind of guy. Okay, so let's just cut to the chase and go to the scoreline predictions for this one. I'll come to you first, James. So, Ahak Zibanovic hat-trick and 2-0 Celtic?
4-0.
4-0 Celtic, Paddy?
5-0.
Oh, calm down.
Hey.
Calm down, Paddy. Calm down. calm down, Paddy. I'm raising you. 6-0 Celtic.
Oh, hey now.
6-0 Celtic. I just think it's the way it's going just now.
I feel like the
sensible one.
What have I done to you? What have I done to you too?
The balanced guy gives the 4-0. I just think you just can't see anything from Livingston against Celtic. And it's almost... We're playing different sports than them at this moment in time. So big night against Real Madrid. And obviously a lot will come down to how the players respond to that, whatever the result may be. But that's why we've got this squad, and that's why this rotation that you speak of, Paddy, will kick into gear, and we'll see a very hungry and a very capable Celtic side, whoever Ange picks for that one. So, yep, a 4, a 5 and a 6 now. Ever the optimists. James, a very busy show, as mentioned at the top, but your final comments as we head into another huge week for Celtic.
I think this is as excited and as happy as I've been as a Celtic fan in all my years following them. The only thing that can come close to it really is things like centenary seasons and Martin O'Neill and Seville. It's in that genre. There's a lot more to be achieved, and I think we will achieve more with Ange. But yeah, I know it's a wee bit boring to say the same thing week after week, but as Miff said, you know, just enjoy it, boys.
Yeah,
and girls.
Time to get excited, as Miff says. I mean, Paddy, it's true, we're in the bigger picture, this is the infancy of what Ange Postecoglou brings to this side or any side that he's involved with. And if the last 12 months and even the last 5-6 weeks are anything to go by, we're in for something really special, aren't we?
He's got a full stadium sitting at the edge of their seat. I just think the turnaround of one season is just absolutely phenomenal. And we won last season. I say that as if we didn't do it. I just think, I'm so taken aback with how well we've been playing, especially Saturday. There is one of the most convincing victories I've seen from us in a long time. And I include just the challenges that we had under Rodgers as well, some of the games. That's supposedly the team that they think is strong enough to go and compete against us.
COVID was different.
COVID's massive part to play in that season.
Look across Europe and who won their respective, and who didn't win last year.
Exactly. So, yeah, big factor for me is that if this is the infancy, as you say, Tino, then my God, it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely, Paddy. So this week we'll see Celtic go head-to-head with arguably the biggest side in world football, and it's the one we've all been waiting for a long, long time. There's genuine confidence between Ange, the players and the fans that we can go and show just how good a side we're becoming, and with a roaring Celtic Park crowd behind the team, then you never know where that may take us. Thanks to Paddy and James for joining me in today's show, and as always, our thanks to you for tuning in. Remember to sign up at thecelticexchange.supercast.com to get your free 7-day pass of the Celtic Exchange Plus and to catch up on the various additional shows that we're producing there this week. But in the meantime, from all of us here, we'll see you again very soon.
Social Podcast Network.